Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson one in our teaching on the book of Colossians titled Complete in Christ. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
How is everyone? Is everybody in their places with sunshiny faces? And this is the way we will start this day. Amen. You know, forgot your Bible. Oh, preacher without a Bible, that's not a good sign. We do welcome you here this morning, and it's an honor and it's a privilege again to be here and to have you here. And as everyone's coming on in, we'll get ready. I think I just lost out here. Maybe I'll start singing. Oh, okay. That's all right, Al. Thank you, Ron. It's always the love of a brother. Okay, well, we'll get started here. And as we begin again in the book of Colossians, the tapes and the notes of last week are back at the back. As we continue in our beginning of this study of the book of Colossians to see where we are and where we're going in this book. I believe personally that in things of the Spirit, nothing's by accident. I think everything's done deliberately by God, by His Spirit. And as God is doing what He does deliberately, He is asking us to deliberately join Him. And as we join Him in what He's up to, it is amazing at what life and what things of the Spirit might be experienced. So we change our mindset of asking God to join us to us finding out what God's wanting to do and us joining Him. So that's what we're trying to do here at New Life. We're trying to discover what it is that God is doing here on planet Earth, what God wants to do in here in the church here at New Life, and also what the Spirit of God's doing with the church at large, and how we can help impact, and also how we can help connect the dots of the Spirit, if you will, of the different ministries of God, the different people of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for this day that You have made. Lord Jesus, and dear God, we thank You that You allow such imperfect people as we are into Your presence. We thank You, O God, that You've made a way, and as imperfect as we are, to fellowship together and to behave and to love each other. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us the agent of Your Holy Spirit that allows this to happen. So, Lord, as we learn how to work in tandem with You and Your Spirit, we thank You for Your patience. We thank You for Your kindness. And we just thank You. I thank You that You've created us and You've created me and You breathed breath into my lungs and You gave me a mind, You gave me a soul, You gave me a spirit. I thank You, Lord, that I am a created being by You, which created the universe. You also created me. So, Lord, I pray that we'll not be as a lost or a dead star out in Your universe, but I pray that this planet will become alive because we're in it. I pray that this planet will come alive because we are a resounding people that will resound back to the heavens our praise and our worship. And Lord, as the stars shine in the heavens, I pray that this fellowship and those watching by internet, that the fellowships will shine, will be a reflection of the glory of heaven. So, Lord God, as we're shining up our mirrors, getting all the dirt off of it and shining them up real good, let us reflect whatever You want to throw our way. And we'll promise, oh God, to run with it and do the best we can. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Just hallelujah right there. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful and an awesome responsibility to be in tandem, to walk with the Lord. And yesterday, there was a gathering out in the park, and there was a lot of good food, and I got a lot of great fellowship and a great time, And for all of those that were participants in that, I feel to speak just a little something to you right before I began here. And what I want to speak to you is, I've done a lot of events and I've done a lot of things. And I've even spoken quite a bit. And each time, right after you speak, you can leave from here and sit down. You'll feel like a failure. You'll feel like you didn't do a very good job. You left this out. You left that out. You try to make a survey of everybody that's there. Just as in yesterday, you make a survey of who's there, who's not there. Was it a success or was it not? Well, I'm here to tell you it was a huge success. It was wonderful. And God was glorified and God was pleased. And Noah preached for a long time and he didn't get a single convert. But he built a boat just the same. And I felt yesterday was like building the ark. It's building a boat. And it was building an ark. It was building the boat. And God sent those that he wanted that was there. And so it was 100% successful. We're honored and privileged to be a part of it, that God allowed it to happen. And as the end, as the warfare comes against your mind, that's normal. You can speak in front of 10,000 and sit down and feel like a failure. It's just spiritual warfare. It's just the way it is. And so, Lord, we thank you for yesterday. Right. We count it all victory. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. And, Lord, we'll do it again if you let us breathe another breath. It's already on the calendar. Second Saturday of October. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the next privilege as we walk in it. Now, in Colossians, the first slide here, you can see the notes are at the back if you'd like to pick those up. There's also some other CDs there, one of Stephen List and when he spoke, one of our pastor, one of theologian Dr. Trevor Craig over here. He has one back there on the radical middle. And we also have some CDs back there, Welcome to New Life. That's for if you're a visitor, if you're here, if you're not really too sure about what New Life's about or whatever. I have to listen to it every now and then myself as a reminder of who we are, where we're going. But it's a Welcome to New Life. They're free. Just pick them up back there. It's two CDs, one by Pastor Steve, the other one by Trevor Craig. They explain a little bit what's going on here, what we're trying to accomplish. Those are at the back. If you have anybody that you'd like to invite to the church, you're welcome to pick those up and to give those Welcome to New Life CD sets. Everything on the table is free. Just pick it up. And you're all missionaries in the field of the world. Okay, so you can pick all that up back in the back. So as we begin the book of Colossians again, last week I did a little bit of an overview. I still will be doing a little bit of an overview today, but I'll start focusing down a little bit on some of the information that's in the book of Colossians. I want you to leave the book of Colossians knowing what it's about, who it's to, why the Lord says what he says, and why he says it, and why he instructs us. And that when you come to a church, it's kind of like going to a mall. When you go to a mall, it's obvious I don't go into the women's section and try on dresses. Well, no, now don't anybody leave from here and say that I did that. I shouldn't even said that because it's, things can get started. My point being that when you go to a mall, not everything in the mall is to you. So when you come into a church service, it's the same way. Not everything in here is maybe directly to you. But what we're looking for is to look in the faces of people, and you can see when something happens and it touches that person. And, it's amazing how we all got our favorite songs. Well, if we just play this favorite song, the whole church would break out, and then you can pray that song and three or four like it. It's amazing how it works because we all have our different things. And so in the household of God, the one way that revival is sustained is we learn how to appreciate what God's doing. That was one of the things that was going on in the book of Colossians. And we learn how to appreciate the things that God's doing, whether that particular thing's happening to me or not. We know that someone else's life is being transformed. That's one way we know that we're walking into maturity, because it's not all about me. And whatever we do, the worst thing you can ever do is judge a service based on how it affected you. Because the way that a service affected you, if God's in the house at all and he declares and promises where two or three are gathered together, that he's in the midst, it's very important that we do not judge what's going on in the meetings as we get together. Because understanding that we're all here and there will be different times God will touch different people in different ways. And so it just so happens that you'll be able to sit back and enjoy the things that God is doing, and we pray for each other. You can say, well, Alan, that's not particularly my cup of tea. It's not. It's okay, because you can rejoice in that it's somebody else's cup of tea. And when you learn to enjoy somebody else enjoying something more than you're enjoying it, you're getting there. You're totally getting there, because that allows God's Spirit freedom to do what the Lord wants to do. There again, the biggest thing that happens is not to judge a service or the things that are going on by how you feel. That's not how you feel is not the plumb line. This book is the plumb line. Amen. And so that's what we're looking for. We're wanting to be in agreeance with the Word of God, and how does it affect us. So let's jump in here in Colossians. I want us to do a little bit of an overview again about the author. Of course, the author is the Apostle Paul. And one thing that we see about Paul, he begins in Colossians chapter 1, is he's just a man of prayer. And that one always clocks me pretty good, because I don't consider myself a man of prayer. I never have. I need to be, and I want to be, I'm sure. I talk to God a lot all day long, and so I'm hoping that that's going to qualify as prayer. You can say, well, Alan, I think it does. Well, I think it does too, but I think there's a little bit more God's wanting to teach me about prayer. But one thing that we saw about the Apostle Paul, he was totally a man of prayer. I'm still trying to learn on that one. He was also a minister of the gospel and of the church. He was always ministering the gospel and of the church. He was an apostle, but he was also a servant. One thing that you learn about the Apostle Paul was his servanthood always superseded. You say, well, he was an apostle. But if you think about Paul, the first thing you think about is how he was such a servant. And he wasn't so much in being an apostle stuff, but he did serve. He told the truth and he gave warnings. That was one of the characteristics of the Apostle Paul. In his writings, he would say, okay, you're doing this pretty good, but you might want to look at this, as he did his warnings. He was also very faithful, and he was also very gracious. There again, a correct characteristic of an apostle. He was faithful and he was gracious. It wasn't out of an act of obedience that he was faithful and gracious. It was because he knew the truth. And when you know the truth, what comes out of you is faithfulness and graciousness. And so in knowing that that's the way the things of the Spirit work, we then understand that what the enemy is after is to steal and to rob out of us that knowing what we know. And that's one thing Paul gets into in the book of Colossians, is knowing the will of God, knowing what you know, to know what you know, to stay on the path of your knowing. The enemy is constantly trying to draw you off of your path with distractions. And it can be good things and it can be great things, but it's not your path. You can walk, you got to find your path, and you stay on your path, and you walk on your path, understanding that distractions will come into your life from everywhere, and they'll look and seem to be very good. He was also a prisoner who was more concerned with others than himself. That was Paul. He was in prison for giving the gospel, but his concern for others was always superseding who he was. Now, believe it or not, that's a hard one, because we're always thinking about ourselves. That's the reason I say when we judge a service, the reason we need to be careful, because we're always judging it by us as the standard. The way the human psyche of the human is made up is between right and left, good and bad. We're always in, the only way we know something that's good is because we have experienced something that's bad. Our brain, the way we evaluate things is between two absolutes, good and bad. So this is pretty good. And it's just, it's the way we evaluate things. But as a believer, we're wanting to be able to develop the ability to set aside how I'm feeling and using that as a point of judgment, and trying to filter that through what God says we're to look at it through. And that's really a pretty hard trick. It's hard to pull off on what God thinks about a situation. And that's the reason in this church, so far, you don't have to worry about anything. If it's not in this book, we won't do it. I think John Wimber said that one time. He said he sat down with a group of leaders, and they were concerned about what was happening in the services. And he said, don't be concerned. If it's not in this book, we won't do it. And he said, for some reason, that gave them great relief. said he didn't really understand why. He said, evidently, they haven't read what's in this book because they had great relief. So the key in Bible study, and the reason we're in here in Bible study in the mornings, is because with our services that follow, perhaps there can be a movement of the Spirit of God. We call for it. We want that to happen. We're wanting people to be touched. There's some things that need to be taught and some things need to be caught. And so we don't want to be found guilty of constantly teaching the people of God without an opportunity for the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God wants to do, like we know what that is. So the only thing we can do is say, okay, God, this is available, and we're hoping everybody will behave and not embarrass us too much. At the same time, we're hoping you'll touch people. That's what we're shooting for. We've had more of the former than the latter, but we're working on the latter. Now, Paul also gave some warnings. And in his warnings, we see a lot of the warnings are in Colossians 2, is where most of these warnings are. It's in verse 4. He says that the whole letter was written so that no one deludes them with a persuasive argument. Now, here's one thing that happens also is being a spiritual people. Anytime you have to get into an argument that you feel like you have to persuade something or a debate, the only thing I can say is go for it. You're definitely not doing it in the power of the Spirit. Because if you've got to argue a point, how do you know you're in a debate? You have to say it twice. That's how you know you just entered into a debate, is if you say something twice. If you have the power of the Spirit with you and you make a comment or you make a statement, then the power of the Spirit is what's persuasive. It's just like when we come up here, let's say like in our next service, say you have a testimony. Someone comes up and they give a testimony, and the testimony is this, like one testimony in the Bible was they went up to the blind man and they said, well, what happened? He said, I was blind and now I see. That was his testimony. So when he said that, and you can even read it, it just hits you. It's like, I was once blind, but now I see. And it's the same way in us giving testimony. When you give testimony, that's kind of a pretty good little rule. It's like the more I talk about my testimony, then all of a sudden it starts losing the wind of the Spirit. You know, I start teaching. I'm going to give you my testimony. I was blind, but now I see. But you see, what I did was I had to go down the road, and I went over here, and I sat down and got me a camel dog and ate it, and then I came up. You know, I go through all of this gyration of it, thinking that the more I say, the more impactful it's going to be. It's not the way it works. The most impactful a word from God can be through you, the shorter it is, the more impactful it is. Because if you get up here and giving a testimony and start teaching in your testimony, I'm not saying teaching's not good. I'm just saying you really need to be sure it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, because the more humans talk, if you're in a spiritual meeting, the more the spirit level starts to drop, and it'll come down. So it's a challenge to all of us. Anytime we're speaking in a teaching situation is different than a service that we'll go into and worship. Two different settings. It's much easier to teach and preach than it is to facilitate and work in a movement of the Holy Spirit. Two totally different settings. Now, can there be teaching in a set? Yes, if the Spirit calls it, by all means. So if you give a little bit of a testimony, or if you have a word of teaching to give, that's fine. But it really you need to really be sure it's not something you're just wanting to say, but what you're getting ready to say is impactful. If you come and give a testimony of what God has done in your life, that hits 100%er. If you come up and give a word of exhortation, that'll usually hit out there about a 75%er in the spirit, just because it's mixed with the human soul. If you get up there and then just kind of do a teaching and start to give everybody warnings, most of the time, 95% of warnings that are given public, when God's in the house like that, usually comes down to about a 25%er of the spirit, because it's usually birthed out of the human soul. Now, I have seen one or two warnings come in a spirit movement like that, and they were very impactful. Now, the downside is you can't really know a lot of times till you say it. So we're not discouraging anybody to saying anything. It's just that we want to test ourselves. There's different types of levels of it. If you're coming up here to say what God did for you, it's going to pretty much, if it's real, everybody will know if it's real or not, because it'll just you can feel it. It'll just impact you, and it'll just totally grip you. And so anytime we're trying to, you know, and it's also noticeable if you try to bring up something God did in your life 2 years ago, it was just impactful. But if you come up and you try to run her now, have you ever noticed how it's just like, I'm not saying it can't have the movement of the Spirit, because it can, but it's kind of like when you're in a revival type spirit, it's more the now moment is my point. It's more of the now moment, and I have no idea how I got off on this. But it's more of a now moment, and so as a people, we're wanting to capture what God did in my life this week. And we're more in touch with what God did in my life Wednesday and Thursday. You're not going to believe. And you say, well, Alan, don't we need a lifetime to bring up testimonies? The answer is no. Because when we walk more in the Spirit, the opportunity of the Spirit in your life is going to be so huge every week. There's a lot of things going on. And I will stop with that. Let me move on. He also warns. In verse 6, he warns against being taken captive by philosophy and empty deception. In verse 6, and that's chapter 2, it gets into false mysticism. And that's one thing we would have to be careful with here in this church, is because you can have a movement of the Spirit, and we believe in the prophetic, we believe in prophetic utterances, we believe in kind of some of this mystical stuff, but where we have to be careful is you can get into false mysticism. I'll try to get into that just a little if I'll hurry here. Verses 16 through 23 are warnings about judging believers regarding some things written in the Old Testament about food, drink, festivals, new moons, and even the Sabbath day. He gets into that. In Colossians, however, they were judging people. Now, there was something, there's several key words here. Now, keep in mind about the judgment. Paul was talking about, you know, you're judging people by some of this stuff. Now, this church was not started by Paul. Paul heard about this church, and so he was writing this letter into them. Now, let's look. Keywords, if you have your observation worksheets at the back, you want to go through chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Would love for you to put or just write down on your observation worksheet, here are some keywords. Christ is the main repeated word primarily in chapters 1 and 2. Now, I'm still doing an overview. We're still looking at the book as a whole, and you do that first. You look at the book as a whole, then we'll start narrowing down on chapter 1. So Christ is a main thing. Now, understand, Paul didn't start this church. He's writing a letter into this church. He's wanting to be sure. He's heard about them, and he has a few warnings to give them. So in light of these warnings, Paul always gives the correct information you need to understand so that the warnings he's talking about, that these events do not affect you. So, that's kind of an indirect truth. And what I mean by that is Paul is giving warnings here in chapter 2, delusion, false mysticism, judging different things. All right, he gives that in chapter 2. So that tells you in chapter 1, he's probably going to tell them the opposite of that. He's probably going to tell them what they were doing wrong that got them into chapter 2. Right? Why does Paul do it? It's just a nice way to do it. Let me tell you what to do right. Now, you might want to look at this. So that tells you in chapter 1, you want to start looking. These key words in chapter 1 is going to have a lot to do with the antidote or the problem of chapter 2. Number 1, Christ is the main repeated word, primarily in chapters 1 and 2. What does that tell me? That tells me that the Apostle Paul was reminding them, okay, you've forgotten some things that are in Christ. Let me tell you about Christ again. Let me tell you about who you are, what you got. Now, keywords also are wisdom. These will be in your notes next week, but if you want to write them down, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are also key words. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Right? So evidently, chapter 2, you come warnings. So it must be that they lacked a little wisdom, a little knowledge, and a little understanding, because Paul starts giving the information on their problems. Complete, all, full, fullness are repeated several times also. Now look at that. Christ is a key word. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding is key words. Complete, full, and all fullness are repeated all the way through it. So he's given us a message here in this overview. He is saying, evidently, you're pretty much complete in Christ. Everything's full in Christ. And when you're full and complete in Christ, and you walk in that, you're going to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So that kind of gives you the whole idea here of the book of Colossians. Now, there's two verses that summarizes the book of Colossians. is chapter 1, verse 27. If you'd like to look at the back in your observation worksheets, you can write above verse 27 and 28. I encourage you to. Two verses that summarizes the book of Colossians. Now, Paul does this all the time. He'll kind of put in a couple verses what he's talking about in the whole book. Here it is in verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and every teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to know what the book of Colossians is in a summary verse, it's those two verses right there. He's saying to whom God wants to make known the riches of his glory, of the mystery of the Gentiles, which is the hope of glory. Us Gentiles sitting here, this is a mystery. We are a mystery. The church are that we are sitting, we are a mystery in the scriptures. And in this mystery, he's saying that this glory has some riches. Now, the reason he wrote the book of Colossians is because we want to preach and warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is saying, all right, here, church at Colossia, I'm writing you this book. Here's my purpose. Here's summarizing. I'm wanting you to be perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, that is a big statement because you are perfect in Christ Jesus. So where is your perfection? In Christ Jesus. So when they started coming out of, that's the reason I say anything that you want to add to your Christianity brings reproach against the cross of Christ. Everything that you have as a Christian is in the cross of Christ. So if you think you can add anything to that, it's a reproach against the cross of Christ. Because everything in your breathing and who you are is in Christ. That's what he's saying in the book of Colossians. And so when they started coming out and they were judging everybody, they had this false mysticism. Well, you know, I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. And all this was going on. They were leaving the cross of Christ. All of a sudden it got on a man or on a person. Boy, they got a big gift. Wow, boy, they really are spiritual, aren't they? That's leaving the cross of Christ. And every time we leave the cross of Christ, the spirituality of our revival is going to fall. If you look at somebody that's a great singer, or somebody's a great teacher, or somebody's got a great word, or somebody's got a... she's going to fall. Because we just got off the completeness that is in Christ. The only reason we got a revival is because of the completeness in Christ. The day you move from that, you move into false mysticism, which means there's something in a man. This person's got more than another person. Everyone in here has as much as is in Jesus. That's how much you got. Nobody's better than another one, but everybody's got it all. You can say, well, Alan, I'm not a great teacher. Well, it's in there. It's just there. You can say, Alan, I'm not this and I'm not, that's just not my gift. I don't care. Holy Ghost is in there. You got it all. Sometimes I think the gifts are, we just pull the one we want. They're all in there. You're complete. I think maybe one gift at a time is all we can handle. If we move from the position that it's all in the cross of Christ, if we move one little single inch from that position, the revival spirit will fall. Don't need showboats. We don't need anybody. You're not drawing attention to yourself. But at the same time, you move when the Holy Ghost says move. If you don't move, it might be the next building block of the Spirit of God setting somebody free. You got to take a chance on being embarrassed and being wrong. Listen, God, the service can handle you being embarrassed and being wrong. Now, your pride's pretty hard on it. But it can handle being embarrassed and being wrong. It can handle you try till you get it. We can handle all that. It's all about the heart. Now, he also said right here, you see, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, catch that. That we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I can today stand here and present every one of you perfect in Christ Jesus. But if you start operating in a religious spirit outside of that, I can present you, but you're not perfect. Can you get it? Your mindset is your perfection is that you are hidden in Christ. And you can bow out and be big belly. I'm something big in Jesus Christ. I'm all things in Jesus Christ. I'm proud of Jesus. He's in me and I can do anything in Jesus Christ. Religion comes in and says, well, now I'm something because Jesus is in me. I'm something. Y'all need to listen to me. You just left it. So to retain revival, you're always wanting to retain and remain in the simplicity of the cross of Christ. We are complete in every way in Him. So how are we presented as being perfect? It's because of the realization and the agreeing with and the understanding of everything we are is in Him. And we all know that. So if you stand up here and say something wrong, it's okay. You're in Christ. If you want to try to be a mouthpiece for Him for a bit, it's okay. Go ahead and try it. We can handle it. We'll take a chance on you to hear from the Lord. Because you are His body. You are Him. Being incarnated in you. To rise up and to speak the voice of the Spirit. So how can we do this? How are we perfect in Christ? It's because in our hearts and in our being, we know everything we are lives and moves and breathes in that cross of Christ. We don't ever move from that position. It's all about Him. If you sing, if you give a word, it's for Him. If you run, if you got a flag, it's for Him. If you banner up, if you sing up. If you fall down, if you stand up, it's for Him. If you raise your hands, it's for Him. Everything we do is for Him. I promise you, if we don't leave that position, you will have sustained revival in your heart and others that come in this place. Because He's lifted up. So He says, present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now chapter 1 tells us how to do this. How do you present every man perfect in Christ Jesus? Chapter 1, it talks about faith in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do you present every man perfect? Chapter 1 covers this. Faith in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Chapter 2 does it like this. Don't be deluded. Don't think you're something when you're not. All fullness is in Christ. You are complete in Him. There again, they were leaving the completeness that they had in Christ. Not in themselves. It's in who you believe in. When you leave your completeness in Christ, you're believing in yourself again. And we know how well that worked for you. Right? So that's what happened in chapter 2. Chapter 3, therefore set your minds on things above. How do we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus? You set your mind on things above. That's what you do in chapter 3. In chapter 4, how do we present every man perfect in Christ? We say pray and conduct yourselves in wisdom. That's what those four chapters contribute to presenting every man perfect in Christ. Those will be in your notes next week. Now here's the next main points of each chapter. Still doing an overview here. Chapter 1 is the mystery. Main points of the chapter 1 is Christ in you. Walking worthy. Now there's one thing of walking worthy and being worthy. When we're walking worthy, we're walking with the understanding that I'm in Christ. When you have the understanding that you're in Christ, all of a sudden you discover that your every move, you're trusting Him. Now, chapter 2, what is that one? It's a warning. And that warning is also to walk in Him. Walk in faith, do not be taken captive. That gives us the indication that we can be taken captive in some of our thinking. Chapter 3 is an exhortation. He says, seek things above. Now that's the main points of that chapter. He says, put on faith. Chapter 4, the main point is the call of fulfilling your ministry. Now, here is the theme. If you want to write on the top of your chapter 1 of your observation worksheets in the back of your Bible, on the back of your workbook, chapter 1, put the theme of the book of Colossians. Right beside theme, put complete in Christ. Is anybody catching on that Paul's making a big deal about being complete in Christ? He's making a huge deal about being complete in Christ. Now, chapter 1 talks about being complete in Christ. chapter 2, chapter 3, and 4. Now, chapters 1 and 2, if you see, I put them together. Now, in chapter 2 tends to speak more about doctrine. Chapters 3 and 4 tends to speak more about duty or us walking worthy. So chapter 1 speaks a little more about doctrinal issues. Chapter 3 and 4, a little bit more about duty. Now, chapters 1 and 2, on doctrine, it says, what you have in Christ. Now remember, looking at Colossians, you look down on the book of Colossians, study. Show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the work of truth, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. So that's the reason I make these divisions. So chapters 1 and 2 is what you have in Him. Chapters 3 and 4 is what you do in Him. All right? Just say hallelujah right there. So everything you do and move is in Him. Yesterday, the barbecue, everything you did in Him is cool. Everything you did in Him is right. Everything that you were looking for in your flesh, you feel bad. Uh-oh. It's all right. I'm just passing on to you what I've walked through. What you do in your flesh, you'll feel bad about. Well, he didn't have this. We didn't have that, and this didn't do this right. And, well, that's your flesh burning is all that is. Can't you smell it? What you did in Him, this is a good day. We were obedient in Christ. That was our duty unto Him. That's what we have in Him. What we have in Him. We done it unto Him. 100% victory. And we'll do her again. Amen? Now, there's two essentials that He shows us in the book of Colossians. One is the Word of God in chapters. Turn right quickly to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And there's two essentials. Now, you got to get this one. Say it with me. Two essentials. Two essentials. And the first one is the Word of God. Paul speaks about being in Him, our duty, what we have in Christ. But the two essentials is the Word of God. And let's look at it in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Say, knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual what? Spiritual understanding. He's speaking about the Word there. He wants you filled with wisdom, spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we see there that he's speaking, you got to have the knowledge of God to bring forth this fruitfulness. So one of the essentials we see that Paul gives us here is the Word of God. Now look at it. The second one is prayer. I've confessed to you, I'm trying to learn on the prayer thing. You say, well, Alan, I thought you were a man of prayer. I've told you, no, I'm not, but I'm going to be. I'm working on that thing. I'm praying more, and I'm trying to figure out if my talking with God's prayer or not. And I think some of it is, but it couldn't all be because some of it's belly aching. I mean, it is. So I don't think that's prayer. I think that's belly aching. So I got to get this one worked out. Prayer, chapter 1, verse 3, look at it. We give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always what? For you. Look at it in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray. See that one? Turn over to chapter 4 right quickly. Look at it in verse 2 and 3. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So we see there's two things that he's hitting on in the book of Colossians. When you hear the book of Colossians, you got to think of two things. Paul was exhorting them in the Word of God, and he's exhorting them in prayer. So those two things, the Word of God and prayer, have to be the ingredients to walk worthy. It's got to be the ingredients to overcome false mysticism. It's because you got the Word and prayer. What happened to them if they got into false mysticism? They got out of prayer and the Word. Right? Okay. Now, your service is not to exceed the two essentials. Turn right quickly to Acts chapter 6. I'm going to have to move right quickly here. In Acts chapter 6. Now, in Acts 6, And please, as I move quickly, sometimes you can even miss the statement I'm making here. Your service is not to exceed the two essentials. What's the two essentials? The Word of God and prayer in the book of Colossians. But what's important here is if you're not careful, your service will exceed the Word of God and prayer in your life. Are you with me? Everybody with me? If we're going to have an event or if we're going to do something here in this church, we want to do two things. We want to use the Word of God in what we're doing, and we want to pray. Those are the two things. Now, but we don't want to be all about service. Look at it in Acts 6. Look at it in verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the what? Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to what? Prayer and to what? Ministry of the Word. Prayer and ministry of the Word. So the apostles knew the two essentials. It's prayer and the Word. You got to grab that one and catch it. Now, prayer activates, watch it, prayer activates the hand of God. It's a mystery. Now, is prayer necessary? Well, based on my continual adventure of trying to discover what this prayer, the depth of prayer, one thing I've discovered, for some reason, prayer moves and activates the hand of God. No prayer, no activation. And it's a mystery. Try to find out why. It ain't in there. I can't find it. It's just because, I'm sure maybe it is, but I can't find it. It's part of the mystery. Now, to walk worthy, you need three things. And I've got 3 minutes. To walk worthy, you got three things. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. First thing, three things to walk worthy. Number one, knowledge of what? Knowledge of His will. Three things that Paul gives us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Three things to walk worthy. First thing is knowledge of His will. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Knowledge, gnosos, it means a clear understanding, expresses a participation in the object of the knowledge on the part of the knower. Now that's the definition. Read it, look at it again. What does knowledge mean? It's a clear understanding. The Apostle Paul says you got to have a clear understanding. It expresses a participation in the object of the knowledge on the part of the knower. So to have true knowledge of God means you're moving on the knowledge. You got it? To have the knowledge and not move on it, you ain't got it yet. If you get true, clear knowledge from God, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians here, he said you got to have a clear understanding of this knowledge. The reason I know you got clear understanding is because you're moving with it. To have true knowledge of God means you move on the knowledge. That's what it's saying. A knowledge of His will. Will here means God's gracious disposition towards something. In other words, God is being gracious towards something. So if you have the knowledge of God, that means you're going to move on that knowledge and God's going to be gracious to you to get behind you and empower your movement upon His knowledge. Can you see why if you don't move and you wait God to touch you, it ain't going to happen? You got to move on the knowledge and He blows the wind on you. We'll get into that one. Knowledge of His will. It says this in Romans 12:1, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can. Number one, you got to be able to walk worthy. Now, just knowledge of His will is not enough. Now, I said there's three things. First one's knowledge of His will. I'm going to have to stop on this one. But the first one is three things to walk worthy. First one is knowledge of His will. Just knowledge of His will is not enough, though. You got to have the three things. Are you with me? Some people have great knowledge. It's not enough. Turn with me right quickly, and I'll have to close with this. In 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Are you with me? I'll read it for you if you don't want to turn there. But it's in 2 Peter, chapter 2. I want you to look with me in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, you see that? Well, go up to verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. Here's the point. There's a group of people, group of teachers, that had the knowledge of the will of God. But the knowledge in itself did not sustain them. Got to have three things. We're going to get into the next two next week. Is everybody with me? Is that okay? Three things to walk worthy. We can do it here. First one is you got to have the knowledge of His will. But you got to understand, you can have the knowledge of the will of God, and that's not enough to sustain you. Just the knowledge will not get the job done. In America today, in society today, we think we are what we know. You are not what you know. God's Word says you are only what you act upon on what you know. That's who you are. That we've been duped into, I'm an A student, I'm a B student, I'm a C student, so that's who I am. Well, you can know all of the Word of God. You can know the will of God, and it's not enough to sustain you. Right here it speaks about it in 2 Peter, where they had that, but they failed. Aren't you excited about this teaching? Okay. Next week, the next two things. Read chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 all the way through. You need to read it through two or three times this week. And do what? You want me to name them? You just can't wait, can you? Okay. Okay. It's knowledge of His will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. It's in chapter, in that verse there. It's knowledge of His will. You got to have wisdom, and you got to have spiritual understanding. But we'll get into wisdom and spiritual understanding next week. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for the knowledge of Your will that You've given us up to this point. We pray for supernatural wisdom and supernatural understanding, that we might go with You and walk with You, and that revival might be in this place, and it might burn like a flame out the roof, and it'll just catch everything on fire, set us on fire, let Your glory come, and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.